It is the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Find us on Twitter at Joe Goodberry and at Jake_NFL. Please like, subscribe, and share as we try to grow this community and pump out daily Bengals content just for you.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts, Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. I know Joe booked his family vacation. I've got my parents are coming up to Canada. They're doing a tour of Banff National Park in Alberta and then heading out.
Badass motherfucker park, huh?
Banff with an N, but almost. Oh,
never mind then.
It's a beautiful park, though. Absolutely beautiful mountains. If you didn't know, the Rocky Mountains, of course, extend into Canada, into Western Calgary. So
they're not just in Colorado?
It's weird, right?
That's amazing.
Fun fact of the day. Then they'll make their way out west to visit me. I'm sure I've told them they used hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Hotels.com. Also want to remind you, you can find our podcast on the Himalaya podcast app, along with all the other usual suspects. But Himalaya has themed collections of shows to help with podcast discovery. So if you're looking for more stuff to fill your day, check out Himalaya for your Locked On Bengals needs.
You need like 8 1-hour podcasts to fill a whole 8-hour shift if you are able to listen to that many podcasts in one day.
That's right. And we will get repetitive if you try to listen to us for 8 hours.
Especially if you listen to the same podcast for 8 hours.
Don't do that. So, Joe, mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. You start night shifts tomorrow, so we're going to be on solo shows until Friday. We think we're going to do a mailbag a day late this week.
Yep, that's right. Night shifts till 5 a.m., so I'll be a zombie if you try to make me do it with you at any other time.
And the same would go for me. Actually, I'd just be working. Anyway, there is a little bit of news today. The Bengals signed a player. His name is John Jerry. He played for the Dolphins during Bully Gate, as it were, when Jim Turner was there as the offensive line coach. I read somebody say his name was mentioned in that report like over 100 times. I think it was 109 or something like that.
In the report? So he was one of the bad ones?
Apparently. He was involved.
Hmm.
He didn't play in the NFL last year. He was most recently with the New York Football Giants. He's graded pretty well for Pro Football Focus over the years, especially as a pass protector. He's giant, 6'5", 340, but he's strictly a guard. And I don't know why the Bengals need every interior offensive lineman on the planet in free agency, but here we are.
It's weird, right? The whole process is weird of continuing to add players to the guard position when the tackle position is the obvious area of concern, and depth thin, it's thin at tackle. I mean, we're talking about Trey Hopkins and Cordy Glenn are the backups when we've discussed how Cordy Glenn probably shouldn't be a backup, but point being that they move a tackle that's quality or has been quality to guard. They sign more guards. We don't get a chance to see Westerman or Redman or anything, any of these guys that have had some experience or maybe have flashed some upside. Meanwhile, Clint Bowling's on the sideline with an undisclosed injury. So the guard position is very weird that the Bengals continue to add. They also, I don't know if you mentioned, they released Rod Taylor, who was a 7th-round pick last year. Coincidentally, also from Ole Miss, as John Jerry was too.
Yeah, it's. I didn't mention that, so that's a good addition. He tore his ACL on the first day of training camp last year, never recovered, or hasn't yet recovered, I should say, well enough to participate in practices, so unfortunate for him, but a 7th-round pick there that doesn't appear to have worked out in the short term, at least. Now, John Jerry is likely a depth signing, but if he can reach his levels of pass protection that he's had in the past, hypothetically, he could play guard for you and you'd be okay. Now, if that's the case, if I want to spin this and put a conspiracy theory into the world, it's that, well, maybe this frees up Cordy Glenn to go to the right side, but I am very sure that's not what this move is about.
No, I just think this is a complete depth move, giving a guy you know a chance to get an NFL career again since he wasn't in the league last year. And I think that's probably what Jim Turner's doing here. And based on who's been unavailable so far through the OTAs, that being Redmond, Westerman, and Bowling, the last day, Clint, was Cordy Glenn also. So maybe there's more going on with Cordy Glenn than we don't know, that maybe he's not able to get back, and it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's a guy who's dealt with injuries his entire career. So,
could be.
It could be just that they need a veteran guy in there that can give them quality snaps right now, and maybe he makes a team, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's truly that those four guards are injured, well, that's half the guards on the team, and then you're down to John Miller, Trey Hopkins, and now
Michael
John
Jordan.
Terry, and Michael Jordan.
Right. Which is fine for minicamp, but you want to eventually have an idea once this – I hate the idea of keep bringing on interior offensive linemen when I kind of get worried about Clint Bowling. I really don't want to see him released.
Things keep looking that way, but it might just be that he's hurt. It's
right.
They don't have to tell us right now, so they're not. We don't really know what's going on with injuries. We do know that he hasn't practiced, and neither has Redmond, and Westerman's also hurt. So we know that three guys are hurt. We know that Glenn missed a practice. So a lot of indication that there's injury, and the rest is very murky.
Yeah, and if that is just it, then still you have to wonder where his spot is when he's healthy. You know, does that mean all of a sudden now they move Cordy Glenn to right tackle? And it goes to a larger question, too, because I was on Reddit the other day on Bengals page, and people saying, well, is this line good enough? Is it a better offensive line than last year or what it's been? And is it 2014-15 levels? And largely, I thought, you know, it's a lot of questions, but a lot of unknowns, because in my mind, Cordy Glenn is a question mark, still moving to guard and health-wise. But if you release Clint Bowling, I think that means the first guy off the bench is Trey Hopkins or maybe Michael Jordan. And those guys are, for a large part of their career, Trey Hopkins has been just an okay, adequate plug-and-play guy. And we don't know what Michael Jordan is. So I still think they have a lot of issues on this offensive line. And I'd hate to hear them. I guess we're not hearing it is everything we need to know, that they're not trying other personnel packages or a variation, a mix of the starting five offensive line. It seems like the guys they put out there that day one has been who's been out there every day, and that's who they'd like to win the job.
I think so, which we'll have to see how it plays out. I mean, the team repeatedly has put its faith in, and the coaching staff has repeatedly gone on record saying this is going to be a different year for Bobby Hart, who, of course, is the biggest question for everyone. And if it wasn't Bobby Hart, then our biggest question would be, how is rookie Jonah Williams going to play? How is Billy Price going to play after a bad rookie year? Who's going to play guard? I mean, there are questions everywhere.
Yeah.
Even after all the investment. So you have to hope the coaching staff knows what you're doing. And if you want to be an optimist about it, then you put a little bit of trust in them and say they have a plan. They have faith in these guys. They have faith in their scheme.
Yep.
But it was something that Evan Silva pointed out when we talked about the Rams offense and the potential improvement for John Ross coming with the implementation of that offense. And that is that they had a very good offensive line.
Yeah.
And
they invested in veterans.
Right. And that is a cornerstone of and the foundation of their success. And now if that doesn't translate to an average degree in Cincinnati, the Zach Taylor offense could have a hard time getting off the ground, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've seen the offensive lines derail a otherwise good supporting cast around a solid quarterback before. And we've seen it recently. So it can happen. And just because they've made changes doesn't mean they'll be better. There's a lot of reasons they could be worse. I mean, with a rookie tackle with Bobby Hart, if Billy Price doesn't take another step, if John Miller is the John Miller the Bills had last year, and then if Cordy Glenn doesn't make the transition to left guard. Now I'm talking worst case scenario, but that is the scenario where easily I could see all of a sudden we're looking at this. Yeah, they changed a lot of guys. They changed a lot of faces, moved some guys around, drafted a guy in the first round, but they ended up with a worse offensive line.
It's hard to imagine them getting worse.
But that it's not. it's on the realm of possibility, in my opinion, because
everything's possible. I just think they were so bad last year that it's hard to imagine them being that much worse.
Their run blocking wasn't that bad last year, and of all things. And then the pass, because of the quick passing game, they were adequate. It was when they needed them to create big plays and hold on a little bit longer. You know, it really was the right side of the offensive line in terms of pass protection. And run blocking, it was just the lack of cohesion and scheme.
Are you suggesting that then the scheme will make things worse? Why would it be worse?
No, scheme would make it better.
So why would it be worse this year? You could
potentially have worse players.
Where? The left tackle?
Sure, you could. Yeah, rookie left tackle at left guard. Clint Bowling is a decent left guard. And
he might still be the left guard. We have no idea. He might be.
But as of right now, if it's Cordy Glenn, there's a good chance. Not a good chance. I'm sorry. There is a chance that he's a worse guard. And I think he looks like a worse guard when you just look at him on film and look at his ability. If Billy Price plays the entire year, because Trey Hopkins was better than him when he played, so the Bengals got a little boost there in weeks 3, 4, and 5, and second half of week 2. If it's Billy Price and he isn't better and he's healthy and they're still trotting him out there, then there's a chance they're even worse at that position.
Your outline for them getting worse at offensive line at every position seems far from feasible. It is possible. I'm not going to say it's not. I don't think it's remotely likely.
I'm not saying it's
likely. I don't think Cordy Glenn was that good at left tackle last year either.
He wasn't good. He didn't grade well. He gave up a lot of pressures. Yeah. And he dealt with injuries. But we know rookie tackles could have a myriad of success and failures and as rookies. It could go a lot of different ways.
And you also expect rookie centers to become better players in their second year.
Usually, but you don't go from being the worst on your team to going to be good.
It's also a full offseason for him after he was hurt last year, which we've heard many players talk about making a big difference. At right guard, I think you go from a player that had huge mental issues with penalties and wasn't a very good pass protector to at least a guy that is average. I think the most likely outcome is not that they're worse. I wouldn't say it is a likely outcome. I think it's an outcome, but I think it's an unlikely outcome is what I'm trying to say.
I'm just saying there's so many times we look in the offseason and we say they should be better here, they should be better there, they should be better. And then at the end of the year we go, they were worse there. And it's easy to see afterwards. So I'm just saying giving scenarios going into it that they're not going to be worse at all five, but there's a chance they're worse at left guard. There's a chance they're worse at right guard. There's a chance they get the same exact play they got at right tackle. And in that scenario, you have a bad offensive line.
The way you're talking about it sounds like it's what you believe is going to happen. And I think this is why our fans might think, or listeners, I should say, might think that sometimes we're a little negative and now I'm on the positive side of it. Oh, yeah.
No one. People think we're negative?
I think one or two.
One or two out of the listeners.
One or two listeners. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about some exciting news that AJ Green is coming back to training camp. Any last words? Sorry, mini camp, I should say. Any last words on what you believe the most likely outcome for the offensive line is?
That the scheme hides them and they get into a scenario where they need to protect and throw and they can't do it. No, that's right.
Your thought. It's a cop-out.
You want to be the likely answer is that the scheme and the play action.
I want to know what you think is going to happen to the individual player performance scheme regardless.
Bobby Hart's going to be Bobby Hart. John Miller's going to be okay. Billy Price is going to be okay. Cordy Glenn's going to be injured half the games and be okay when he's healthy. And Jonah Williams is going to be okay as a rookie.
All right. That's isn't that better than bad from last year?
Well, they got a mixed result at left tackle last year. There were some games where Cordy Glenn was good, some games where he was bad, depending on how his health felt.
And I would overall, think that you're going to get the same thing from Jonah Williams.
Right, that's what I mean. You'll get a mixed game, mixed bag. Left guard, they got a decent year at left guard. At center, when Billy Price was in there, most of the games, you know, like 8 out of 10 were poor or average to below. And Trey Hopkins was average for most of his games inside. So as a whole, they were just barely okay, I guess. At right guard, they were bad, and the penalties killed them. So just getting rid of those penalties makes them better at right guard. Bobby Hart is Bobby Hart. I don't expect them to be any different, but I expect them to hide them more.
I'm not arguing with you about the right tackle, but I think the rest of the offensive line should be okay. Or I don't see the other positions getting worse. is I guess what my point is, except maybe left guard. But I think that would be an issue of coaching decisions and personnel decisions more than it would necessarily be the players available to the Bengals to put on the field.
Sometimes you like a certain style and a certain player and a certain size, as we've heard with Jim Turner.
It's a theme for him.
Right. So you sacrifice maybe some steady play for the chance to create more and push or more, have more size or, you know, in the run game. And if that's the case, then he may see it as a positive impact, but you know, it can be looked at in many ways, I guess. We're trying to project here, so it's hard to say for sure.
All right. Well, there's your final verdict. I got Joe to commit. It's on air. We're going to go to a break. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our other sponsor for this episode that you've heard about for the last couple weeks, and that's Grip 6 Belts. There are special offers available to you right now at grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. I know Joe's getting one for Father's Day, I assume at least by now. They are ultra-lightweight belts with no holes, no flap, and a great low profile. Very comfortable. Many of the other Locked On hosts wear them and have good things to say. Get one for yourself, get one for your dad, get one for your brother. Just go get a belt. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Locked On Bengals podcast, Jake and Joe, for our final segment of today's episode. Big news. The best offensive player. Should I say best player? I think it's Geno Atkins. So I'm going to say best offensive player on the team is back, or at least cleared, to participate in practice. And he says he will. AJ Green will do individual drills during the OTAs this week, or mini camp, I should say, right? This week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will take part catching passes, running some routes. Won't do the full 7-on-7, 11-on-11, but that's okay. It seems a little bit earlier than I expected originally, because I believe when they first got together and they at the stadium, he said that it would be training camp, if I remember correctly. But now it seems like he's back, feels no pain after surgery, no setbacks. No soreness. He's good to go.
Surgically repaired toe, though. That doesn't sound great. I mean, I guess I knew it was a thing, but just reading the words. This is a Bengals.com article. That is striking. Anyway, he is, right, going to be participating in minicamp, and his plan prior to this was he was going to be a full participant in training camp, which I think we can still expect.
Yeah, I guess that's right. We should expect him to be there as long as he doesn't have a setback, right? Actually doing the work. But I think rehab, they put him through strenuous activities. They expect him to be fully fine. He did say that he was going to, even if he had finished the year last year, he needed the surgery anyway, and it would have set him back another 6 weeks or so. So this could be looked at as a good thing in hindsight now that he did miss those final month and a half.
I feel like that had something to do with it, right? Like they were losing games at that point. Their playoff odds were very low.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to make a decision for yourself there. I think if you're the player at some point to get that taken care of, make sure you're getting back. He is, like you said, he's due for, or like the Bengals.com article said anyway, he's due for an extension. So it makes sense that he would want to get healthy for this year in case he doesn't extend with the Bengals. He'll want that contract elsewhere. And missing time in the offseason makes that hard. Now, it makes it hard anyway, as you talked about with Billy Price, just missing time generally in the offseason is generally a detriment. But when you're as good and as established as AJ Green, I feel like he'll be fine.
You would expect, right, that he could jump in, especially this late in his career, that it shouldn't affect him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny you bring up the contracts. I don't think we mentioned this on yesterday's, but there was a quote from him that AJ Green said, quote, "Cincinnati is home for me. I've been here 9 years. This is home as much as South Carolina. All I know is Cincinnati. I can't see myself playing anywhere else or playing in a different city. Hopefully I can be here for a couple more years."
I feel like it's the same thing we heard from Andrew Whitworth.
Oh, man. Why do you got to do that? Who's the negative one?
I'm fairly certain that is like almost word for word. I mean, obviously not a direct quote, but it's the same exact gist as what Andrew Whitworth was saying late in his career in Cincinnati.
I'm sure it was. And I remember reading afterwards about Whitworth and the process. And yeah, that's how he felt. He couldn't, even during the time of negotiation and being courted as a free agent, he couldn't see himself anywhere until it happened.
Yeah. I mean, and I can relate to this more than ever right now, actually. I'm dealing with trying to find a way to make a little bit more money at my job. And I was talking to my boss about it, and it just got into the sales. I use the analogy of professional athletes when it's like, I want to be where I'm working. I want to stay there. They want to keep me there. But then the question always comes down to, well, can we make, I mean, obviously, when you're talking about $8 million versus $10 million, you're living fine, but I get it to some degree, right? Like, you need the money to make sense. And that's what it is for these guys. So money needs to be right. You're not going to leave $3 million on the table. No one does. That's $3 million. The only person that's going to do that is like Tom Brady because his wife is making more than him anyway.
Yeah, it's like anyone that's listening. If you've had a job or been a place 9 years, right? And you know there's another job out there that maybe could pay a little bit more. Sometimes, like, man, it's not worth it to pick up everything I've built and everything I've done. You get kind of nervous about that, the differences of that job. You're comfortable where you are, and you know it really would take a lot of money. And in the NFL, you get that opportunity to have that big discrepancy in pay. The Rams come over and they say, "Hey, $3 million extra dollars a year." Well, that's a big difference, rather than maybe $8,000 more a year that you may get from, you know, if we're talking you and I at a regular job.
Well, that still makes a big difference for a normal guy like you or I. You know, that means you can afford an extra couple $100 a month in mortgage or rent. That affects the kind of house you buy or the apartment you're
Car
in.
payment.
Car payment, right? Like any number of things. For NFL players, it's a different scale, but you still get it. And especially when you think about the amount of money the owners are making. This is what it always comes down to for me. Anytime an owner lets a player walk, people get really mad at the player saying, "Oh, he's too selfish. He should be taking a pay cut and be loyal." And it's like, no one is loyal to these players. The owners are making 20, 30, 50 times as much as the highest paid player on their team. And you want to get mad at Andrew Whitworth for going to take $3 million more dollars a year for the last 3 years of the last time he's going to be making that kind of money in his life?
Were people mad at him?
No.
I
I'm
can't
just using it as
remember.
an example.
Okay.
Like
I mean, I'm sure there
people
were
get,
people were.
yeah. Oh, yeah,
But,
for sure.
right. But the general consensus was that the Bengals messed that up. Because
Yeah.
you could look at it the other way, right? What's 3 million more to you as a franchise to
Exactly.
keep a guy
That's what
like
my
that?
point was. The owners have all this money and you're balking at $3 million. And it's easy to say when it's someone else's money, but just when you start to do the percentage based kind of thing, you know, for Joe or I, what's $3 million a year out of $500 million that Mike Brown's making every year, whatever it is? It's less than, it's like a half a percent.
I'm glad you could do the math because I didn't pull out my calculator.
Something like that.
Were you good at math in school?
That was okay. I wasn't excellent. I was better than average for sure. I took an international baccalaureate math class in high school.
A what?
Yeah. My school had three different curriculum or four different curriculum levels. They had you know, the standard, they had honors, they had AP, and they had international baccalaureate. And I took the IB, International Baccalaureate.
Okay, you took it. Did you pass it?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Oh, okay. I thought you were tricking me here.
I got mostly A's. I think I got straight A's my last 2 years of high school. My
So
first 2 years were pretty rough. Yeah.
you were good at math then.
Good enough.
See, I
Yeah.
hit my wall in 10th grade. I was in advanced math in 9th, and then, well,
What
some other things.
was it? Was it geometry? What got you?
No, I got suspended for a whole semester of
Oh,
school.
right.
So
I think we've heard this story.
I don't know if I talked about this story on here, and I
Oh,
don't know if I
maybe
will.
I've heard
But
this story.
yeah, I've told you the story offline. But yeah, so I missed a whole semester, and it really screwed me up. Came back next year, and I was like, I don't know what we're doing. I seem to have missed a section here.
It's a good school punishment system for you, but that is
Yeah,
not the topic of
exactly.
our
That
podcast,
is
is it?
not.
We better stay away from school administration. You want to go start a school administration podcast, Joe?
No, I do not at all,
No,
actually.
not something you're into. All right.
So what
Let's
else we
wrap
got?
up with AJ Green's comments here at the end of the piece, and Andy Dalton. They're both saying, you know, there's a lot of pieces here. They both said, or maybe it was mostly AJ Green, people just have to stay healthy, and he's talking about himself too.
How do you stay healthy, though?
I don't know.
Is
You
it
get lucky.
luck?
It depends who you ask.
Because there's some like doctors or trainers that'll say, "Oh yeah, that there's a lot of, past history for injury, and whether there's a correlation to predicting future injuries." I mean, I think there's a lot of doctors will say it's completely luck, and then there's some will say, "Well, he had this, so he's prone to having this because he's, the surgery or the procedure that he had or the rehab that he had may not have completely fixed it, or because of that injury, he started laboring or using different muscles and different straining different areas of his
Yeah.
body, and now those are susceptible to injury."
That's what a physiotherapist would tell you. Physical, what do they call them? They call them something different here. Physical therapist, that's what they call them in. What did I
And
say?
that you said physiotherapist.
Physiotherapist, yeah, that's a Canadianism.
Okay. So it's the same job?
Yes.
Right.
Huh, Kevin Durant's playing tonight.
All right. Well, that could swing the tide a little bit, huh?
I don't know. They got to win four in a row now. That's tough.
Your hometown Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, my home country. I don't, neither of those things are true.
The entire state of Canada is rooting for the Toronto Raptors.
That's how it works. Also today on Twitter, just the last Bengals topic. Obviously, we're out of things to talk about. We need minicamp to come back, and then we have to do 6 weeks of no minicamp. So wish us luck. We'll start doing a bunch of scheduled content. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about us. We'll be fine. Anyway, Paul Daner retweeted Bengals.com, tweeted about they had their media day today. There's some cool promotional stuff out there. Joe Mixon, Andy Dalton, AJ Green, Jesse Bates, and Carlos Dunlap are the guys I remember being featured. I'm sure there are a few others.
Yeah.
Some linebackers.
And also, Jay Morrison at The Athletic had a really good story and caught up with Jeff Blake. Then I thought it was interesting. So check that out.
That sounds cool. Apparently, I missed some tweets today. One mention I got, Carl Auberger tells me that Dave Lapham in his most recent podcast does talk about Christian Westerman and Trey Hopkins in the Bengals Booth podcast. So maybe we'll have to go give that a listen to see what we're missing.
Carl doesn't say what he says, though. And
Nope.
that, okay.
Got to support the content creators.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I'm not saying tell us exactly, but or tease me a little bit. I want to know if is it worth listening, or is he just mention them?
He says, very informative.
Oh, thank you, Carl, for that very informative tweet of a very informative podcast.
Big time endorsement. That'll do it for us here at the Locked On Bengals podcast. As always, you can find us on the new Himalaya app, curated playlist, discovery, everything you want. If you like podcasts, you'll find something new there. Also on the Google Play Store or Google Podcast and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the rest. Until next time, Bengals fans, have a good one.